1 John 4:16. We are continuing our series this morning, Love Unrivaled, and we're looking today at love unlike any other, love unlike any other. I read the story of a young man who had been raised as an atheist, and he was training to be an Olympic diver. The only religious influence he had in his life was a very outspoken Christian friend. And the young diver never really paid much attention to his friend's sermons, even though he heard them often. But one night, the diver went into the indoor pool at the college where he was a student to practice his diving skill. And the lights were off, but the bright moon shining through the skylights, he thought, was plenty of light to practice by. And so the young man climbed up the highest diving board, and as he turned his back to the pool, standing on the very edge of the board, he extended his arms out to make his first dive. And as he did this, the shadow of the moon's light cast his shadow on the wall, and it appeared to him as the cross.
Because I had it on pause then.
The cross.
Oh, yeah.
And at that moment, the love of God overwhelmed his heart. And instead of diving, he knelt down on the diving board and he began to pray and ask God to come into his life. As he finished praying, he stood to his feet and was beginning to position himself again to take a dive. When a maintenance man came in and turned the lights on, at that moment, the young man looked down, realized it
was empty. It had been drained for maintenance. How great is God's love? How great is God's love? There are so many people who question God's love and feel that God could not possibly love someone like them. At times, even as Christians, especially when we go through hard times, we may doubt God's love for us. But there are three words in Scripture that are perhaps the most comforting, encouraging, and life-transforming words found in the entire Bible. And it is simply the three words found in 1 John 4:16. God is love. God is love. Now, that's not the whole truth about God, because God has many attributes. The Scripture tells us that God is also holy, and He is just, righteous, true, faithful, gracious, merciful. But to say that God is love is not to diminish any of the other characteristics of God. It is simply a declaration of God's nature. He is love. So everything that He does flows from and is motivated by His love, even His holiness and His justice. We must worship the one true God as He is revealed in Scripture. And we must not amplify one aspect of His nature to the neglect of another, or we will find ourselves worshiping an idol of our own making. If we exalt only His love, then we create in our own making a sappy and emotional God who tolerates sin and accepts evil. If we exalt only His holiness and His justice, then we create a harsh and demanding God. But all you have to do is to look at the cross, the greatest expression of God's love, and you will also see an expression of His holiness and His justice. As Jesus died a sacrifice for our sins, paying the penalty for us so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. So even as we focus on His love today, we must remember that God is more than love, but everything that God does flows out of His love. There is never a time that He is unloving. But what does it mean to say that God is love? You see, God's love is so unlike any other love that we have ever known or experienced that the New Testament writers had to invent a word to describe God's love. You know, in English, we only have one word for love. You can say, I love pizza. You can say, I love my wife. I love my children. It's the same word. And so it really does not have the depth of meaning that the words in Greek actually do, because there are four words for love in Greek. For instance, the first word is phileo. We have the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, based on this word. Because this word phileo means brotherly love or friendship love. It is a mutual type of affection. It is a love because we get along, because we have similarities. We like the same things. We enjoy one another's company. Friendship love, brotherly love. And then there is eros love, from which we get the word erotic, because it is used to describe romantic love. This is a type of love that says, I love you if you please me. I love you if you meet my needs. I love you if you make me feel good. But that's why so many marriages end up saying, I don't love you anymore, because it was based only on eros love, and eros love is an if love. And then there's storgeo love. It's family affection, the love that we have for our mother, our father, our children, our brothers, our sisters. I love you because we're related. We have the same blood. And sometimes that's a great joy and privilege. Sometimes it's just, I gotta love you because you're my blood. And then there is agape love. And this word agape was basically invented. It's the word used in 1 John 4:16. It was basically invented by Christians to describe God's love. It was a new word to describe a new concept, a new kind of love. Prior to the New Testament, the word agape was rarely used in Greek. So they took a word for love that was virtually never used, and they ascribed to it everything that they had learned and experienced about the love of God in Jesus Christ. It refers to the highest kind of love, divine love, as revealed to us in Christ and his great sacrifice on the cross. No other term for love was sufficient to describe the love of God, a love that is unlike any other love that we have ever known or experienced. And today we want to consider just a few of the characteristics of God's love that make his love unlike any other love that we have ever known. And my prayer is not that we would walk away from here today with a head knowledge of the characteristics of God's love, but that we would walk away from this place today knowing experientially in our heart that God loves us unlike any other love we have ever known. Yes. This is our prayer today. And the first thing I want us to see is that God's love is uncoerced. God's love is uncoerced. What does that mean? God is not moved by anything in us to love us. Humans are moved to love others in response to what they find or experience in another person. We find something attractive. We find something good. We find something pleasing about another person, and we are moved or influenced to love them. But God's love is different. He is the source of love. He loves because it originates out of who he is. His love does not originate with the object of his love. His love for you does not depend upon anything in you or about you or anything that you have ever done. In Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8, Moses was trying to explain to the children of Israel why God loved them, because they had begun to develop this kind of entitlement mentality that they were, you know, God's special people and they deserved his love. But Moses said that God loved them not based on anything in them. He said it wasn't because you were a great nation. It wasn't because you were righteous that God had chosen you. It wasn't because you deserved his favor. To the contrary, there was nothing attractive about you. He said you were weak, you were few in number, and you were rebellious. There was nothing in you to move God to love you. He had no reason to love Israel, except that it was his good pleasure to set his love upon them. And the same is true of us today. God has chosen, because of his love, because of who he is, he has chosen to love you and he has chosen to love me. It has nothing to do with you or I, and everything to do with him. You can't earn, you can't deserve, you can't demand, and you cannot cause God to love you. He does not love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. That's right. He is love. The love of God originates within himself and has nothing to do with anything that is found in you or in I. His love flows willingly, voluntarily, spontaneously, and completely uninfluenced by anything in us. He loves simply because of who he is, and he chooses to set his love upon us. God is not obligated to love anyone. God does not need to love us, but how we need to love him, like a child needs a parent's love and care, we need the love of God. God does not owe us his love. There is nothing that we could ever do to earn his love. God is not required to love us, but he chooses to love us. As one preacher says, he loves us because he's filled with an infinite measure of holy, pure, and indescribable love. That's why God loves us. It is just the outflow of who he is. God loves us simply because he is love, and it is his nature to love. The next thing we see, not only is God's love uncoerced, God's love is unlimited. God's love is as infinite as he is. You see, God's love is first of all infinite or unlimited in duration. We mentioned the scripture last week, Jeremiah 31:3. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. There is no expiration date. Amen. On God's love. There is never a time that God will not love you, and there is never a time that God will stop loving you. One of Satan's most destructive tactics is to plant doubt in our mind as to whether or not God loves us. Satan comes and whispers in our ears. If our prayers are not answered in the time or in the way that we expected, he whispers in our ear, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. When we go through a trial or a difficulty, he puts questions in our mind. If God really loved you, why would he allow you to go through this? Why would he let this happen to you? We fail. And because we've messed up, Satan puts it in our mind, God could never love you again. You're not worthy of his love. But folks, God is love. And he has loved us with an everlasting love. There was never a time when he did not love us, and there's never a time that he will stop loving us. Because God is love, he will never stop being God. And because he'll never stop being God, he will never stop loving us. Does that mean that we can live any old way that we choose? No. God loves his children even when they fail, but he loves us too much not to discipline us. You know, a parent who does not love their children does not discipline their children. A parent disciplines their children out of love because they know that certain actions or choices that their child is making could be destructive to them. And so because they love them, they discipline. And like a loving parent, when we go astray, God disciplines us, not to harm us, not to punish us, to get our attention, so that we will turn away from the destructive path that we're on, and that we will return to him, because he is the way of life. And God loves the unsaved sinner, and will do everything within his power to bring them to a place of repentance and saving faith. Just like the story of that young diver, an atheist, on the diving board. And God supernaturally made himself known to him in a crucial moment where that young man could have lost his life. God loves us too much to accept or condone sin, because he knows that sin is harmful to us and to others. But he will keep loving us, and he will keep working to draw us unto himself in repentance. You know, the father of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal that Jesus told, The Father continued loving his Son. Even when his Son went to a very far country, he wanted to get as far away as he could from his Father. And he practiced wild living, and he wasted his inheritance on prostitutes. And the Father kept loving him and would have kept loving him with a broken heart, even if he had not come back home and died in that sinful state. The Father would still have loved him, but with a broken heart. God never stops loving the sinner. And though it breaks his heart, he will continue to love them even as they choose, by their own rebellion and unbelief, to walk through the very gates of hell. God will love the sinner even as they choose to walk through the gates of hell. We cannot begin to fathom such love. You can't stop God from loving you. You can only accept or reject his love, but he will keep on loving you. God has always and will always love you. And God's love is not only unlimited in duration, but God's love is unlimited in degree. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God loves you more than anyone on earth could ever love you. Think of the purest, truest, sweetest love that you've ever known on earth. And God's love is infinitely better. Perhaps the love of a mother or father is the most sincere and selfless form of human love that is known. But even parental love can fail us at times. The psalmist declared, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me up. He will take me up." In Isaiah 49:16, after having talked about the love of a mother being the strongest earthly bond, and even at that, there are times when mothers can abandon their children. And then the psalmist went on to tell us that God will never stop loving us. And he said, "See, I have engraven you on the palms of my hands." And it refers to an ancient practice similar to tattooing, where a person would permanently mark their body as a reminder of someone. Now, that doesn't mean tattooing is acceptable. I'm just giving you this as an illustration. Amen. Some see this as a prophetic picture of the nail scars in Jesus' hands. "I have engraven you on the palms of my hands," as the prophet Isaiah declares. And the point is that God will never forget any one of us. He always has us before his eyes. You don't ever have to worry about being loved. As long as God exists, you are loved beyond measure. You may be in a place in your life that you don't want to be, and you may be going through painful trials that are beyond your power to change, and you might feel that God has forgotten you, or your life may be a mess because of bad decisions that you have made. And you may feel that God is far from you. But I want to encourage you this morning that God loves you, that he has not forgotten you, that he will never forsake you, and he will never fail you. If we could just grasp that in our heart, folks, it would ward off depression. It would ward off anxiety and fear and loneliness and any other oppression that afflicts our life. God loves us more than any other person on earth can or will ever love us. His love is unlike any other love. And then thirdly, God's love is unchanging. His love is certain. His love is certain. We can count on it. Human love is based on feelings and emotions that can change from one moment to the next. Sometimes somebody tells you, "I love you," and the next day they see you, they don't even greet you.
Tell the truth, Pastor.
A man will tell a wife, "Oh, I love you. You are everything in the world to me." 5 years from now, 6 years from now, he'll say, "I don't love you. I want a divorce."
Come on.
Come on now. Even the best of human loves can change. Couples fall in love, get married, expecting to be married until death do us part. I have never had a couple sit in my office when I do premarital counseling and say, well, you know, we're going to try this thing out. If it doesn't work, 5 years from now, I'm going to get a divorce. They sit in my office and say, oh, we're madly in love with each other. We're certain that this is God's will for our life. This is the one person God has chosen. And oh, we can't wait to spend the rest of our life together. And then a few years from then, sitting in my office. Can't stand this man anymore. Can't live with this woman anymore. Have to get a divorce. It's amazing. See, once the irritations of living together with someone sets in, the physical changes take place and maybe they're not as attractive to us as they once were, or familiarity causes the freshness to fade, or life happens with all of its demands and its difficulties and the sweet joy of being in love gives way to frustration and tension and perhaps even indifference. And unfortunately, the divorce rate is 50% inside and outside the church. All because husbands and wives say, we don't love each other anymore. The feeling is gone. But I have you to know, love is never meant to be just a feeling or an emotion. It's a decision of the will. The same way that you love your children and you can't one day say, the feeling is gone. I don't want to take care of him anymore. Well, you have him. You know, love is a decision, even in marriage. Well, it's a different kind of love, but it's a decision.
Thank you, Jesus.
You didn't stand at the altar and say, if I feel like loving you till death do us part. You said, the marriage vows, you say, I will. Not I feel. Come on now.
Yes.
See. But we mistakenly think that love is just an emotion. But God's love is not based on emotion. God loves us because He is love. Malachi 3:10 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Folks, if He loved you 10 years ago, He loves you today. And He will love you 10 years from now. And He'll love you 1,000 years from now. And He will love you into eternity. His love does not change. His love is certain. You can count on His love. As He is unchanging, His love is unchanging. I don't know about you, that thrills my soul. There's never a day that I'm going to wake up and God is going to say to me, you know what?
Oh, hallelujah.
You got on my nerves too much.
Well.
I it's the last straw. I just don't love you anymore.
Pastor.
Hallelujah. Even when we're unfaithful, the Bible says He's faithful.
Oh, yes.
Even when we fail Him, turn our back on, He's still there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. I love the book of Hosea in the Old Testament because it shows us how God is even is married to the backslider.
Yes.
Powerful picture of the greatness of God's love and the unchanging nature of God's love.
My God.
I want us to also see the constancy of His love. God's love doesn't fade. God's love doesn't diminish, it doesn't lessen over time. We've all heard the saying, the honeymoon's over. The honeymoon's over. And what we mean is the passion and intensity of the early stages of a marriage, which causes us to overlook certain things, fades with time and with trial. And then there we are faced with reality. Isaiah 62:5 says that as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God rejoices over you. And what he's saying is God is head over heels in love with you. And with God, the honeymoon never ends. Hallelujah. He will always love you with the same intensity of joy, of energy, of passion and excitement. His love is constant. It doesn't diminish. It doesn't fade. It doesn't lessen. Hallelujah. You can count on God's love. It is the one constant in life that you can count on. Hallelujah. To the name of the Lord. God's love is unconditional. God's love doesn't depend upon anything, anything that we do. As I said, most of the human love that we experience is conditional. We tend to love only those that we consider worthy of our love. And we are loved by others based on what we do or how we meet their needs. And if they feel we're not pleasing them or we're not meeting their needs anymore, they stop loving us. God doesn't say, I will love you if you do this for me. I will love you if you are perfect. I will love you if you do good. I will love you if you are holy. I will love you if you are lovable. God simply says, I love you, period. And I'll never stop loving you. God's unconditional love doesn't mean that he doesn't judge sin. All you have to do is look at the cross to see how God feels about sin. But his unconditional love means that even when we were sinners, even when we were God's enemies, he showed his love to us by giving his son to die on the cross that we might be brought back into right relationship with him. When we were at our worst, he loved us. There's no new discovery that God is going to find one day where he's going to say, well, I didn't know that about you, so I can't love you. He loved us when we were at our worst, when we had no regard, no care for him. God loves the unlovely, and he loves the unworthy. And he loved us when we were at our worst. And Paul says there in Romans 5, how much more now? How much more now does he love us that we have trusted in him and given our heart to him? And God's love casts out all fear. Psychologists tell us one of the deepest needs of the human soul is unconditional love and acceptance. And people have such great fear of losing the love of someone they care about. I have seen women put up with physical abuse out of the fear of their misdirected concept of love, that their man will stop loving them. That's not love if he's using you as a punching bag. But they're so afraid of not having somebody there. I've seen women put up with serial adulterers in their marriage because they don't want to lose the love of that man. He doesn't love you if he's cheating with every skirt that passes by. Come on now. But God's love is perfect. God's love is perfect. We can't do anything to earn his love. So we don't need to ever fear losing his love. Because there's never anything that we can do to make him stop loving us. All we can do is rest in his love. A famous preacher was walking through the countryside one day with a friend, and he saw a sign on a weather vane that said, God is love. And he pointed at it and he said, I don't agree with that because the direction of the wind changes and God's love never changes. God's love is constant. And his friend responded and said, yes, that's true. But however the wind blows, God still loves you. See, the wind may change, our life may change, circumstances may change, but God still loves us. We can rest in God's love as the worship team comes. Though everything in this life may change, God's love is certain and God's love is constant. God loves you with an everlasting love.